When I began the series, I had no idea of what the sermon would be. Obviously, the series in Psalms. This is the second or third time I've done series in Psalms. I don't know if you realize that or not. Yeah, I think it's the third time. And so you never know what you're going to wind up with whenever you say, I'm going to do a series through this. And as I was going through the 71st Psalm, I began to see a theme that I thought was very appropriate for our day and age. And as part of this sermon, the sermon title is When You Are Old. When You Are Old. And now I want you young people to pay special attention to this sermon because there's great application for you. Excuse me. But I needed some help on this because I don't feel quite as old as some people do, maybe, but or some of you think I am. And so I asked a fellow that has a couple gray hairs to participate with me. Brother Pete, would you come on down and would you come and share with us the testimony of what God has done in your life and what he's done through your life and so forth? Now, Brother Pete had that kind of color of hair when I came here almost 13 years ago. I don't know if that's a family trait or not. My wife's father was gray-headed in his 20s and 30s and white-headed by the time he was about 35. So, Pete, please.
Don't let the white hair fool you. I'm not as old as I look. On July the 13th of 1997, I made the best decision I've ever made in my life. After 30 years in sin, I made a decision to come back to the Lord. It was on a Sunday morning in the old sanctuary, and Brother Wilcox was preaching in the place of Brother Heater. And I can't tell you what he preached about, but I can tell you what the Holy Spirit said to me. I heard a voice, and it said, if you're ever going to come back, today is the day. And so I turned around, and my brother T.O. behind me, and I said, go with me. And we came to the altar. And after all those years, those burdens were gone. Peace was restored. He turned my life around. He made me a new creature in Christ. Amen. I've never been the same. Things have never been the same. And I thank God for that every day and for his grace. And I hang my spiritual experience on John 6:37. And it says, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And that's the anchor of my faith. If you ever doubted the grace and the goodness of God, look at me and see what he's done in my life. And how he has blessed me ever since. And I'll never be able to thank him or praise him enough for the good things that's happened to me since then. And I thank you for this opportunity to tell you what Jesus means to me. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Pete. The 71st Psalm. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Deliver me in thy righteousness, and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me, and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Folks, since I'm having such problems with my throat, do you mind if I get a proxy up here, Sister Anita? Would you come up and read the rest of the 70? Just start the third verse again. Read it from the King James, yeah? And if you don't mind.
Third verse is where you were?
Yes.
Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. By thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day. For I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of my righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. Thy righteousness also, O God, is very high. Who hast done great things, O God, who is like unto thee. Thou, which hast showed me great and sore trouble, shalt quicken me again, and shalt bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou, Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, and they are brought into shame that seek my hurt.
Thank you. There's so much in this psalm. So much, to be honest with you, in a psalm like this, I almost just try to bring into focus one major thought. I can't give you everything that's in it, but in this psalm, there's great indication that the psalmist has placed his trust in God since his youth. And it has two very plain statements about his being old, though. When you read verses 9 and 18, it's very clear. He talks about gray-headed, and he uses the term old. So that's a hint, in case you don't know that, that he's talking about those that have a few years on them. And as you go through this, you see it's very plain that the author's trust to God through his life, that he still looks to God with a desire that God would deliver him whenever he runs into all the pieces that life brings. I think that it should be a common theme among those of us that have been followers of Christ for a few years. One of the things that troubles me in my life is sometimes I see people that have some years on them, and they talk about what they did when they were young. They talk about how they worked in the life of the church when they were young. And when their children were growing up, they invested themselves into the life of the church, and they worked in the nursery. They went on the witnessing campaigns. They did the different things. But then it seems that somewhere along the way, it's almost like they get lost in living life. It's almost like they forget that the God they served when they were young is still the same God. And that he still will use a man or a woman, even though they have gray hair and their body doesn't work quite the same. And maybe they're not playing basketball at 65 or 85, but it may be that they're doing other issues in the life of the church. It may not be that they're taking the youth different places, even though I do know that we have at least one of our seniors here that serves as a counselor at the, Sister Charlotte serves as a counselor at some of the youth events. I don't know if Sister Charlotte's ever grown up. When I first came here, one of the very first, I used to ride horses up in Illinois. Never owned a horse in my life. Really don't want to because you got to feed them and do all that stuff with them. And, but I love people that have extra horses and say, you want to ride? And I say, sure. And I had a fellow up north that we rode, and the horses he had, none of them were broken. Well, they were semi-broken. I don't know if you know what a green horse is, but when you get on a green horse, you never know what a green horse will do. And I've been bucked off. I've been mistreated. They've tried to lay down in streams with me and all that kind of stuff. And then I came here, and Charlotte and Steve were, they had their horses and rocking chair horses. The Tennessee Walkers, the smoothest ride of any horse you could ever ride. At least that's what I think. And Steve said, you like to ride? I said, oh yeah, I'd love to ride. And he said, well, just come on with me. And you had to know Steve, those of you that knew him. I went with him, he and Charlotte, and there was one or two other people, I believe, and we went to Paint Creek. And if you remember, in July of 2001, I came in September, in July of 2001, a 100-year flood hit, and it wiped out Paint Creek. I don't know if you went down there at that time, but the bridge, those small bridges were out. They washed some of them down the stream. It was horrendous. Trees down, you name it. It was terrible. And Steve took us down through it, and Charlotte would say, Stevie, I don't know if we need to do this, Stevie. And we would just go on. Steve would say, oh, it'd be okay, Charlotte. And we would ride. And later on, she said, Stevie, don't you think we've been long enough? And he said, oh, we're okay. Later on, I learned that he said something along this line. He said, I always figure that if I took a new rider out with me for 4 or 5 hours, if they could handle that, they would come back and ride again. If they couldn't, they wouldn't, you know. And that was just Steve. And so Charlotte's been that type of person. She was not a child at that time, riding that horse through those creek, that messed up creek bed of Paint Creek and everything. And you know, as you get older, things change. Those of you that have some gray hair, you know that to be true. But my, it's a shame, is it not, that if we grow older, we grow dead in our hearts to the service of the Lord? If as we grow older, we forget that the same God that delivered us against the enemies of our soul when we were young will deliver us against the enemies of our soul when we are old. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, some of you have fought the fight. You have the scars of on your soul, so to speak, from the battles that you've engaged in. You've faced the enemy. You've stood against him. You've overcome. Temptation has come. And folks, I don't know if you realize it, but I've never found an age where temptation is not there. It may be a different kind of temptation, but temptation is very real. And so you struggle with the battles. You have the fight to fight. You have the difficulties to face. You have all the problems of life that life brings to you. When you're young, generally speaking, you don't worry about having to have a knee replacement or breaking a hip or all the other things that come with a few years upon us. And so you have a different type of thing that you have to look at and a different kind of problem. But my brothers and my sisters, you would think that there would never be a time where we would stop doing ministry. Now, there's a biblical precedent for this, not only in the area that we read, but in Joshua, the 14th chapter, starting with the 7th verse, we read about Caleb. Israel has entered into the promised land. The tribes have had the areas of the country that they're going to take for their own, as it's been divided up and given to them. And this is what Caleb said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. He was one of the 12 spies and one of the two that said, let's take him. He said, and I brought him word. Now, he was 40 years old at that time. Now, remember that. It's been over 40 years. He'll state that in a minute, but he was 40 years old when he went in as a spy into the land. He wasn't a kid, but he certainly wasn't the age he is when he's saying these words. He said, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Now you've added up the numbers. He's 85 years old. 85 years old. As I look across this room, I don't think there's more than a 2 or 3 people here that are 85 or older. Now, the others of you are much younger. You're probably around 80. Some of you are around 80, 81, you know. But here he is, 85. He said, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that. Now, by the way, in case you want to know what he's saying there, he's saying, man, bring the battle to me or I'll go to it. Bring the battle to me or I'll go to it. Now, he's 85. I kid some of you younger guys and tell you, you know, if you want to jump on me, just come on. I can't keep you from getting on, but I'll help you get off. Things like that. Now, folks, let me tell you, I do believe I can whip an 18-year-old, but I have to do it in less than 1 minute because my air won't allow me to breathe after that. You know. But here he is, he's saying, I'm ready for war, whether it comes to me or I go to it. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Now, listen to this. Give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, the giants, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Now get this. Remember, it's the city of the giants, the area where the giants are, the mountain where the giants live. Now, do you remember the cry of the people, of the other 10 spies, rather, when they said, oh, there's giants there, we can't fight them. And Caleb said, oh yeah, no problem, let's go. He's saying the same thing 45 years later. The same thing. He said, let me have the giants. He said, God's with me. He had the same outlook at 85 as he had at 40. He had the same fire in his heart, the same desire in his soul. He had the same outlook where he said, man, God's with me. If God's with me, there's no giant around that can stand against me. If God's with me, it doesn't matter how big they are, how strong they are, or how old I am. Because the battle is not about me and the other enemy. The enemy is about God. Do you see that picture tonight? See, it doesn't matter what age you are. There's always giants. Always giants. You can be 15, 25, 55, 85, doesn't matter. There's always giants. But God is still the same God. Just as sure as he could whip the giants when you're 15 and 25, he can whip them when you're 75 and 85. Just as sure as God can overcome any size of the enemy when you were 15 and 25, their size still does not matter because God is still God. And praise God, that is the message he gives to us as we move forward in years. You see, it seems to me that age is not a factor in the lives of those who have a desire to be warriors for Jesus. In this psalm, there are a number of things, but I'm going to just give you a couple things that I think make application to us as we grow older. I'd like for you to note that he begins with almost a cry, "Do not forsake me." When I began this sermon, I thought that this cry was the normal cry of the "do not forsake me" kind. When problems arise in life, when things get bad. Now I still think that there's clear application for that, but it seems to me as we hear him talking about being older and "do not leave me" and "help me," we have this application for the person who has some gray hair and have lived in this life for a while. You'll notice that he clearly states, "In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust." This is the one basic truth for all of life for God's people. We must look at all that comes and believe that God will not forsake us. We must believe that with all our heart. We must believe that with everything we are. We must believe that when it looks like we're losing the battle. We must believe that when everything darkens and when life is rough and nothing seems to be right, we must be able to say, "I put my trust in God." As Job declared, "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him." That must be our cry. It must be our cry. Because if we look at life, and we see life as overwhelming and that we can't win and we can't overcome and life isn't fair and things are bad and we forget that God is there, then I would say to you that we open ourselves up for failure. We open ourselves up for defeat. We open ourselves up for captivity. We might not cry out the specific words that are used here, but those who cry to God are normally reminding themselves and their enemies that God is dependable in life. Now, we had a lady up north, her name is Macy Colclasier. Macy was one of these Spacey gals. Wonderful, wonderful Christian lady. The women went to some kind of women's thing, and there were two carloads of them, and you know, they were goofing around, yelling at each other as they were driving down the road. Macy somehow got her head out the window, was yelling at the person in the other car, and got her knee on the window lever, and it raised the window up on her neck, and she didn't know how to get out. I mean, this is great stuff. You can't make these kind of stories up, you know. Her sister was Della. And Della, she wasn't quite as spacey as Macy was, but Della came to church one Sunday. She had a high heel on and a low heel on. And she came to me and she said, now, the foolishness of this. She came to me and she says, "Pastor Rudd, I wore a high heel and low heel. I need to go home and change shoes. Will you take care of my Sunday school class? And please don't tell anybody." Why would I ever tell anybody about that, you know? But Macy, she would get up and testify something like this. "I was having problems today, and the devil was beating me up, and I went to my door, and I opened my door up and said, 'Devil, get out of here in the name of Jesus,' and shut the door." Now, Macy, as I said, she's a little spacey. Her husband was an alcoholic. Her son had started that direction at a very young age. 12, 13. And Macy was still being faithful, and her husband Chuck would come to church and he would have relapses. She stayed faithful and fought the fight and fought the fight and fought the fight and fought the fight. And Chuck truly turned his heart and heart over to the Lord. And later on, her son came to Jesus. I don't know how you put all that stuff into life. But you see, you can trust God. You can trust God. You may go to the door and open the door up and say, "Devil, get out of here." And your neighbors may think, "There's that crazy person again." But to have your lost husband and your lost son turn to Jesus would cause a person to shout with joy, would it not? And you may see that person and shake your head at him. But I tell you, she was such a wonderful, wonderful Christian, is today. We see her when we go up north and visit our kids, and she's still the same. She's never changed a bit. I don't know how old she is now. She has to be at least around 70, 70 plus. She's just the same. Still opening up the door and telling the devil to get out. Praise be to God. The same God that stood with her when she was young stands with her when she is old. I ask you tonight if you would look at this sixth verse out of the message. You might want to look at it as I read it in whatever version you have, but listen to how the message puts it. I've hung on you from the day of my birth, the day you took me from the cradle. I'll never run out of praise. Oh, man. My God, I've hung on to you since the day I came to you in the cradle of my spiritual life. I was an infant spiritually, and I've hung on to you. All of these years. And I'll always praise you. Some of you that came to the Lord at 6 and 8 and 15 or whatever, and you can tell those stories. I turned to Jesus when I was a child. I never turned loose of him. I've hung on to him. I've hung on. When it felt like life couldn't get any worse, I still hung on. When it looked like everything was more difficult than I would ever have thought, I still hung on. Oh, senior citizen today, could you not shout that message? Could you not shout that message? Oh, you may have came to the Lord at 20 or 40 or 50 or 60, but now here you are older in your life and you've moved forward. Could you not lift your voice so that the younger folks of our congregation could hear how one of the senior warriors faced the enemy and overcame? Thank you, Brother Pete, for that testimony today. See, many of the people, especially some of our younger folks, they don't know your battles. They don't know your struggles. They don't know your story. They don't know what you've given, what you've done, and how God has worked in your life and what he's done for you. And oh, I'm sure that somebody can say, "Well, I knew Pete when," but you can say, "Yeah, you might knew me when, but let me tell you what's happened since. Let me tell you about Jesus. What he's done." You see, folks, you have that testimony. And I pray that you do not hide it. Maybe we should be like the writer of Revelation talked when he said, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Man. I'd love to hear your testimonies, to hear you tell how you came to Jesus. Some of you have come from backgrounds that none of us could imagine. You see, what we see in this building is people who have who come in on Sunday morning. They dress in a certain way. They act in a certain way. They sing the songs, and that's what we see. But we don't know what happened to them in their childhood. We don't know what they went through in their lives. We don't know about the parent that deserted them. We don't know about the sorrow they faced. We don't know about the deaths of their children. And we haven't seen those things. And some of you need to pull a young person around you every now and then and say, let me tell you a story how Jesus came into my life. Let me tell you what life was like before I knew him. But let me tell you what it's been like since I came to him. Oh my, they don't know that story. They don't know that story. We all know that the enemies that we face in life are often greater than we're able to handle. We find that the problems and the concerns seem to be more than we can endure. And we have to cry out to God, be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Well, the second thing I would give you out of this is you need to reveal your power to this generation. Listen to the psalmist in the 18th verse as he continues in his call to God. He said, now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation. Don't worry, I'll get to the rest of that verse a little bit later on. I think this is an amazing exclamation. As a matter of fact, I think it's one of the most amazing exclamations we find in the book of Psalms. He's asking God to hang on to him until he's able to show the current generation the strength of God. He said, let me show them then. Let me show them what God's done for me. Let me show them how strong you are, God. Let me show them that you walk with a person through the troubles and the trials. And let me show them how a Christian lives. I'm going to give you a story, true story. As a young pastor, well, actually as a young man, after I just felt a call in the ministry, I went to the credentials committee, the way we do it in the Church of God Reformation movement, actually my pastor wanted me to. I couldn't have cared less at the time. I didn't have a clue about everything. And he said, you need to be ordained. And I said, well, if you think so, Brother Collins, whatever Brother Collins told me, I said, okay, I don't know. I trusted him, believed him, and he told me to do something. I do it, you know. And so here, Brother Collins says, you need to be ordained. And he took me to the credentials committee. And there was a guy that was on the credentials committee, and his name was Don Cox. I don't know, Brother Ralph, I don't know if you knew Don. He was pastor up in Springfield, Ohio. And Don Cox pastored a fairly large congregation in the Church of God. And he was on that committee that oversaw that. And I would see Don every so often. And years later, I was pastoring in Illinois, and our neighboring church in Washington, Illinois, where that tornado hit just a few months back, our neighboring congregation there got a new pastor. His name was Richard Fitzwater. And Richard's wife was the daughter of Don Cox. I didn't know it at the time. I found out as we moved along. And one day, she was telling us that her daddy, Don, had cancer. And the doctors said that they, of course, this was back in the late 80s, early 90s, so technology's come much further and the things that they can do are much greater. And I don't know what kind of cancer he had or anything else, but I'll never forget the exchange there that day. The doctors told him, said, there's nothing we can do for you. You've got less than a year, and there's no healing for you. And I guess he went through all the things that a person goes through. But when the doctors told him that, this is what he said. He said, I've shown my daughters, he had two or three daughters. He said, I've shown my daughters how to live as a Christian. Now I will show them how to die as a Christian. My. My. Is that not a statement? Let's show the generation that we live in with all the different age brackets what it is to be a follower of Jesus. Those of you that have the gray hair, that have fought those battles, let them see what it's like to love as a Christian. Let them understand what it is to live as a Christian. Show them how to forgive others as a Christian. Let them see how you give yourself as a Christian. Oh, brothers and sisters, some of you, that's, I tried to count it up earlier. I think there's about 50 people here tonight that are 60 or older, approximately that many. There's about 110 in this room. We have, I don't know, 30, 40 over in the gym, kids and so forth. About 50 of you. Show this generation what it is to be Christian. Show them the power of God working in your life. May they observe you as you not only love God, but as you love others. May they see you as you give yourself to do ministry, to help others, and to reach others. Never forget Clark Parman. Never forget Clark Parman. Some of you did not know Clark. Most of you did. Clark was, what was he, 94 when he passed away? 93. Little skinny guy. First time I met him, he told me, he said, and showed me, I think, if I remember how high he could kick. Now, he was only 81 then, so he was just a baby. And he would jog around in the parking lot. And, of course, I don't know if Clark's jogging was the kind of jogging that everybody did, but he kind of did it like this, you know. Now, this is just side note because I think it's so funny. He said, Clark told Steve Wilson, said, after I came, he said, you know, I think he's the best preacher we've ever had here. And Steve Wilson said, Clark, they've given you the hearing aid things that we put in. You see, this is the first time you've heard anybody in years. Now, I don't know if Clark could hear or not. I really don't, but he was here. He'd open up the doors. 81. Open up the doors. Up through 90-something. Unlock them. I got beat everybody here most of the time. Stayed after everybody left. We didn't have to have anybody lock up. He locked up everything. Anybody who came into our building met Clark Parman, if he could get to him at all. Anybody who walked in. Now, I don't know what you think about that, but let me tell you something. When somebody gives himself to do ministry like he did at his age, he showed our generation how to do it. Now, you may not run and jump and carry on like he did, and you may not be the unique person that he was, but let me tell you something. You can be the unique person that God would have you to be. Seniors, show this generation. And then reveal your power or God's power to other generations. See, the psalmist didn't merely talk about that generation that he was in, but he talked about others. He wanted everyone, all generations, to see the marvelous power of God at work. Seniors, I ask you, will generations to come pass on what they see through your life? Oh, by the way, they will, regardless of what it is they see. So I wonder, what you will give them. Those of you that are fortunate enough to hold your children and grandchildren in your arms because you live close to them, your grandchildren should hear grandmas and grandpas that sing the songs of Zion. They should hear about the love of Christ from you. And maybe at some point in their life, you would want to sit them down and just share how Jesus Christ saved you. You don't have to give them all the dirty laundry, but you can let them know how you were lost and how life was a mess and how Jesus came. Wouldn't it be great to have an 8 or 9 year old granddaughter sitting at your feet as you tell her about what God has done for you? Wouldn't it be marvelous for them to remember that for their kids and their kids' kids? For them to be able to say, you know, my grandpa, your great grandpa, he was a marvelous man of God. Instead of saying, he was a drunk and a liar and a cheat and a thief. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you could give your love for Jesus to generations to come? Oh, is that not what the psalmist is talking about? Let me show generations to come your power, God. Let me tell them about the wonders of the saving grace of Jesus. And by the way, some generations to come may not be your own physical grandchildren, but some of them kids will never hear the gospel unless you give it to them. Some of you in this congregation have impacted multiple generations. I've officiated at funerals where 2 and 3 generations have sat in the pews and talked about grandma or grandpa, about their love for God. Some of you have taught group after group of young people in our Sunday school. They have watched you take up the offering, work on the church yard, cook at the dinners, set up the tables, and some of them have heard you testify of the wonders of Christ. God has allowed you to live so that you can show generations the power of God. Listen again to how the psalmist says this. I will also praise thee, in verse 22, with a psaltery, even thy truth, O my God, unto thee will I sing with the harp. O thou Holy One of Israel, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul which thou hast redeemed, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Oh. Some of you seniors, you can give that to generations to come. You haven't reached the end yet. No matter your age today, God is not through with you yet. The psalmist declared, even when I get to be old, don't forsake me. Let me give this truth to generations to come. Ruth and I talk about whether we'll see great-grandchildren. Our kids started late having kids. Our daughter was 31, and I forget what the rest of them were, and it doesn't matter. Oldest grandchild, 16. We don't want to see any great-grandchildren for some time yet. And so we talk about whether we'll have great-grandchildren. We talk about whether God will allow us that. You know, why will Bailey bring in her set of triplets? You know, wouldn't that be great for me? You get to laugh at them for that. And will Jordan show us? Will we be at her wedding and then be at the birth of her baby. Will we get to see that kind of thing? I don't know. Maybe God will allow that, or maybe that won't happen. But this much I pray. This much I pray. That when Gerald Rudd dies, that they will have the message of Christ burned in their heart. And they will know that they had a grandfather that was lost and headed for hell. But one day he turned to a living Savior who forgave him and cleansed him and allow him to live a life that is so amazing. So amazing. And may generations to come tell that story. I pray that would be true for you. Father, thank you. Thank you for being the one that is our rock and our fortress. Thank you for allowing us to have one that we can trust. Thank you for being with us in our youth and being with us when we are old and gray-headed and helping us fight the battles regardless of what age we are. May we show this generation and generations to come the power of the living God. In your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand?